This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Ed McManus, who's the CEO of Meridian Energy Australia and PowerShop Australia. G'day, Ed.
Hi, Alan. Nice to be with you, yeah.
Meridian is a New Zealand company.
That's right.
Half-owned or 51% owned by the New Zealand government and the primary or the biggest generator of electricity in New Zealand.
Yes, that's right. Mainly hydro and wind in that country.
Yeah. Yep, and it's also a retailer in New Zealand. So it's a kind of, it's an integrated, basically government-controlled electricity company, but it's opened up in Australia. Just describe the business in Australia.
So in Australia, we are a generator through wind power. At the moment, we operate two wind farms, one in Victoria, one in South Australia, and we're in the process of expanding that generation business. And then we have a retailer, which is called PowerShop, which has been going for 3 or 4 years now with slightly over 100,000 customers. So we've had some good growth in that business.
Declaration of interest, I'm one of them.
Oh, great. Good to hear. Good to hear, Alan. Thank you.
And my children are too. I've made them. I've forced them to be
customers. Did you refer them and get the $75?
I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got people who, you know, do 10 or 12 of these referrals a year. And as you know, the referrer and the referee both get $75 credit. And so some people hardly pay an electricity bill by referring their friends.
I haven't tried that. I need to do that. The reason I like it is because it's renewable and it's cheap. Cheaper. And you can take advantage of the specials.
You can.
On the app.
Yeah.
Which is all pretty good. I think that, I'm a bit of a bit of a fan of PowerShop, to be honest. Not that there's any shortage of power companies now.
No, I think
it's become quite competitive.
That's right. I think in Victoria and New South Wales, we have over 25 retailers in the other states, you know, getting up for that number. So it has become very competitive on the retail side as competition has opened up.
But it's also been an incredibly, tumultuous industry over recent times. What's your perspective on what's been going on? A long hop to you there.
Sure. I think we've got an energy affordability issue where many individuals and families and businesses are seeing higher bills. And so when individuals and businesses see higher bills, it becomes a front page news worthy item, obviously, and politicians get concerned and get interested for good reasons. And that's where we're at now. And it's dominating the political debate, something consumers are feeling for all sorts of reasons.
So whose fault do you think it is that power prices have gone up?
There are a number of reasons, but I think it's fair to say that one of the primary reasons is the lack of coherent, stable policy on carbon for about the last 10 years. And that has been something that both sides of politics federally need to take some accountability for.
One particular part of politics believes that the problem is not enough coal-fired power. So what has the lack of coherent policy done, actually, that's caused power prices to go up?
The lack of policy means companies like ours and other companies in the industry, as well as large users of power, have not been able to anticipate the cost of carbon, whether direct or indirect. And so in making long-term decisions around a new generator, these are 20, 30, 40-year assets, as a business, we're asking ourselves, will there be a cost on carbon, whether formally or informally in the future? And that uncertainty has led to a lack of investment. And look, electricity is complex, but it follows a pretty simple formula that any Australian can understand: supply and demand. And so as you've got less electricity supply owing to some old generators closing down and not enough new supply coming into the market, we've seen demand and supply get out of kilter and price has gone up. And that's been one of the drivers of the increase in prices, not the only driver, but it's been a major one, particularly in the last 12 to 18 months. And so what all of us are asking in the industry is get the policy around carbon to a stable point. We're not asking for handouts, not asking for subsidies, not asking for freebies. Just tell us what the policy is. And I believe the industry will come then with huge investments in generation because of where wholesale price is. You can build new generation well below that price. And we'll see prices come down. In fact, in the forward wholesale market, wholesale energy is a traded commodity. We see prices coming down because the industry
by how much?
Oh, by probably $25 to $30 a megawatt hour, which translate to the average, you know, residential user of maybe $130, $150 a year, which is not to be sniffed at. And for large businesses using enormous amounts of power, that could be the difference between hiring new people and not.
But in addition to that, there seems to be a lot of disruption going on with a lot of people installing solar panels on the roof and mm-hmm. batteries in the home, mm-hmm. Companies selling software mm-hmm. that will manage sort of distributed generation
yep.
of all these things, and also shopping centres putting solar on the roof mm-hmm. to run the shopping centre. So there's a tremendous amount of that kind of disruption going on. Where do you think that's going?
I think how disruptive it is
going to be to companies like yours that actually are in the business of centralised generation?
Yeah. We think it's a wonderful thing. Solar is mostly a no-brainer from a financial perspective, depending on your situation in terms of the time of day you use power. But for most people and many businesses, solar makes sense. We have some of the highest penetration of solar anywhere in the world, and we think that will continue. What does it mean for our business? Well, from a retail perspective, we're all for it. We, as you know, as a customer, we give people an app which allows you to see how much energy you're using and when and how much that's costing, and solar is part of that. We're encouraging people to use less because that's the best way to save money. From a generation perspective, you know, look, I mean, even if we see doubling or tripling of solar, we'll still need an enormous amount of centralized generation in this country. We'll see much more distributed resources. You'll still need a good deal of centralized generation. And over time, what we're going to be seeing is more and more of that, I believe, will be renewable, simply because renewables are now the cheapest form of new generation centrally, whether that's wind or large solar farms. So there's a big part for us and others to play.
Do you think that in Australia we've seen the last new coal-fired power station?
If I was a betting man, I would say yes. I think you look at what's required. So if you and I, Alan, agreed to build one tomorrow morning in your backyard, it would take about 6 to 8 years to build. So you think about
how... My backyard's not big enough.
Probably not. But anyway, you think about the number of changes to governments you would see in that period, both federally and at a state level in 6 to 8 years, right? So that's issue one. Issue two, would banks, financiers get behind it? Big question mark, because they themselves have their own sustainability and reputational drivers now. So for a whole host of reasons, apart from the fact, Alan, the simple fact is it's more expensive to build new coal than new wind or solar, even after you take into account what we call firming up of wind. So wind does not blow all the time, the sun doesn't shine all the time. So now companies like us are thinking about solar and wind farms with batteries or partnering with other technologies to firm up so that we're generating more often. Even when you take into account the costs of that firming, you still find that coal is just not competitive. So my view is we won't see another one built in this country.
Right. So what that means is eventually we'll be 100% renewable, possibly with some gas.
I think so. I mean, you look at other countries, Meridian's a New Zealand business, as you mentioned, and in New Zealand they have in the order of 80% renewables. There are several other countries in the world getting close to that. Each country is unique. New Zealand has a huge amount of hydro assets, but we've got enormous wind and solar resource in this country. So we think it can be done, certainly up to the 70, 80% pretty easily.
But what about the firming up issues? I mean, a lot of people in Parliament say that the problem, you know, even if you have 50% renewable, it's mm-hmm. it's not reliable enough.
No, that's not accurate. We believe it can be firmed initially with gas. You're right. Over time, we're seeing reductions in the cost of grid-scale batteries. That's following an enormous learning curve, meaning prices coming down. We're seeing the first of those batteries being rolled out in South Australia and probably pretty quickly in Victoria. Queensland are now talking about it. So pumped hydro is the other option. And there are other technologies coming through the pipeline that would see firming costs. But gas firming, play a bigger role. Gas will play a role for some time.
Talking about pumped hydro, the Prime Minister has announced a pumped hydro, Snowy 2.0, I think it's been called. Do you think that'll actually happen?
I think it's a project like that is going to be tremendously challenging from an engineering perspective, just given where it is, what is required to be done. So they've announced a feasibility study, and they should do that. We'll be very interested to see what the result
will be. So it might show that it's not feasible.
Well, it might, but we'll have to wait and see, Alan.
We will. Well, great to talk to you, Ed. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
I've been talking to Ed McManus, who's the CEO of Meridian Energy Australia and Power Shop Australia.
Thanks a lot.